You're listening to Bounce Back Behavior, the show with Nakisha Michelle and Robin Denise, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome back to Bounce Back Behavior. What's up, Mo Bounce Nation? It's already been a week. Time flies when you're having fun. Oh my God. We're a healing house for Black women and others who are done playing small. I'm your host, Nakisha Michelle, your Bounce Back Queen. And today we are talking about something very powerful, but we always talk about some powerful stuff.
No, that's right.
That's what we do.
I know that's right.
So something often misunderstood. Let's talk about rage. I'm not talking about temper tantrum, adult temper tantrums. I'm talking about rage, not destruction, not tearing up shit. I'm just talking about sacred, righteous rage.
Not the way you said it. I'm just talking about trying to put it all sweet and put a little honey on it. Oh my goodness. How are you doing?
I am so good. I'm so, like, my word is yummy. I'm so yummy. Everything is in play, in motion. I'm so good. Me and the guy, the man of my heart, we're good. We actually put up our wedding dating site. What do you call it? Our wedding website. I sound crazy.
Oh.
Our website. So we're just so excited picking colors and trying to decide how many people to be in the bridal party.
Yeah.
And can I just say, I've never had like a wedding as many times as I've been married. I just had throw together what they call shotgun weddings. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, no. Yes. Well, no, I thought a shotgun wedding was because the person was pregnant and you had to get married. So, but was that what it was for you?
Well, you would have thought I was pregnant as fast as they would be like, you wouldn't get married. Yeah, let's do it. Let's just put everybody together in the living room. And just
right, like, right.
You would have thought I was, but no. But you're right. That is the original thought behind the shotgun wedding. Because they were going to get shot if they didn't marry.
Right, right. Shot by what's that thing called? One of the, goodness. Those rifles,
rifles.
Shot by a rifle,
but
yeah.
Daddies back then was not playing. You got my daughter pregnant. You marrying her, whether you like her or not.
Right. Listen, you liked her enough to knock her up.
Okay, that part. Okay, that part. So, yeah, so I'm just excited. And I realize for those of you who are looking for your dream person or in that spirit and looking at getting married and stuff, let me tell you something. Just to have a beautiful, decent, small wedding, you're looking at anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 right off the rip.
Because what, bro?
Girl, the venues eat up your money, girl. And we can't do like, you know, how we do, Robin Denise. You know, we'll just have auntie and them fix up some fried chicken and macaroni and cheese and green beans and stuff. We can't do that, Robin Denise. I'm tempted to, but they ain't going to let you bring that to the venue, okay?
You know what? You're right. Because one of my cousins got married and my aunt owned a Jamaican restaurant at the time. And it was a whole hoopla trying to get that food into the venue space. The venue wanted to be like, you can only work with our caterers and all sorts of shit. So yeah, I get it. That makes sense.
Girl, we talking. So let me tell you, we talking. At first we were like, okay, 50 to 75 people, right? Because you start counting mama and them and cousin this one, and they got two kids and all that. You easily at 50 to 75 people. But girl, when they start talking about it's $100 to $149 per person, we was like, oh, okay.
Okay. We cutting this down.
We down to 15. Who was the people there that when I was broke and needed some money, they showed up for me?
Right.
Everybody else, y'all gonna have the live stream. No pun intended. I'm sorry. I love y'all, but girl, $100 to $149 per person.
Mm.
So that's where we at in these shenanigans streets. What's up with you, girl? You still in Paris or you done moved on?
I am in the Paris of the wee wee wee. It is 2 a.m. here. And you know, I'm like, yes, oh, child. Yes.
You talking like it's the middle of the afternoon.
Because I took a nap, bitch. What you mean? What you mean?
Take a nap on Bounce Back Radio Show days, girl. You sound fresh like you just. Girl, so three in the afternoon, you just came in from a little stroll.
Okay, I had to take a nap. This 38-year-old body was like, bitch, you better lay down. You want to show up? You better take your good nap.
Girl, wow. So, I didn't know that time.
Yes. Goodness. Yes. So like the first show when I got here out here, I know my energy was so low. And we were talking about grief that show. My energy was so low because I had just traveled from Thailand and then got here and the time difference is so different. And then trying to be up at 2, it was a lot. So yes, Robert Denise said, you better take your naps. But what's happening out here is, God damn it, I had it. I wanted to tell you something and it just skips my mind. What was it? Oh, nope, that's not it. The food has been great. Yeah. Oh, that's what it was. Okay. So I went to a yoga class and a meditation class and a, what's the other class? A Pilates class. Like I signed up for like this yoga studio's little like three session intro thing. Tell me why my butt forgot that I'm in fucking Paris and the classes are not going to be in English.
Girl, you was in there and they was like, right? Girl, you just had to look around and figure out what was next.
Well, girl. So this is what happened. You know, I'm big on the self-talk. And I've done this before when I was living in Costa Rica, when I was just like, no, Rama Denise, you know Spanish, right? Like, just claim that shit. You know Spanish. Mm-hmm. And when I remembered doing that and how it like triggered me, like understanding Spanish more and like having confidence to talk to people in Spanish. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did with this class. I was like, no, Rama Denise, we know French. We know French. Now, listen. I ain't spoken not a word of French since 13 years ago when I came out here the first time. Okay?
Oh, my God.
I've been on my little learning app talking about un, deux, trois.
Counting out the numbers. You talking about, girl, you bounce back like, I ain't going to be defeated because I don't know what you're saying.
We know. And literally, when I tell you, like, I started hearing words and knowing what they were talking about, and it just started clicking. And I was like, yo, this self-talk is something powerful. Like, if people don't know, like, I'm a walking testimony that, like, you say the things that your brain needs to hear and it will click into place and start to move that way for you. I promise you, because by the end of the class, the lady was like, respirer, expire. And I was like, okay, breathe in. We'll be lift up here, breathe out. She said, l'enfant. I said, okay, that's child's pose. Like,
oh my God, you was like clapping for yourself.
I was.
Patting yourself on the back.
I left that class like, you better do this, Robert Denise. You live in Paris right now. Let's go.
I am so proud of you. Now, you know, I'm curious. I know there's like Africans and stuff in Paris. And I know there's, you know, Blacks in Paris. I mean, I'm just saying, where you were you the only little caramel gumdrop in there? Or were there other ones that resembled you?
In the class, I was the only caramel dropling. but on these Parisian streets, Black people are everywhere. And
everywhere.
It's beautiful. And you just hear them speaking French. And it's just like, yes, you better do that, you lovely, delicious Black people.
Yes, lovely, delicious Black people. Lovely, delicious. Listen at the wordsmith. You lovely, delicious Black people. Ooh, that's so yummy.
It is. It's super yummy to hear them speaking. And then, like, they be thinking I know French. So, like, people be just talking to me in French. And I be like, parlez-vous anglais?
Okay. I got two questions. I got a question. Mm-hmm. But I want to also tell you one time. Okay, see, I've only been in Paris once. And the time that I was there, I remember I was seeing people that weren't like us, but the people that I were with were us. So we knew who we were, right? We mm-hmm. were just walking around. I don't remember where we were. We were going to go get something to eat or something. And I remember walking, and we walked up this way, and we saw a young black girl coming towards us. And then she was like, hello. And we was like, you American? And she was like, yeah, I'm from New Jersey. I was like it was a family reunion. Do you understand? And then we was like, what are you doing here? She was like, oh, I'm a teacher here. And then aww. That's when it opened my mind. And that was, oh my God, that was so many moons back. But that's when it opened my mind that we can go and be anywhere. Mm-hmm. We don't have to limit ourselves. And so much we limit ourselves to our state, our city, our country. But the beautiful thing that I think does make America great is that it's, as long as you're not a criminal or what have you, you can get that thing called a passport, and then you can go and roam the world freely.
And I mean, as long as you're not a perceived criminal, let's go the way shit is moving right now. As long as you're not a perceived criminal, I'm just got to say that. Just got to say that. You know, actually, you could be a criminal and get acquitted and still go places. You know, you could be a criminal and then become the president in the U.S. I don't understand. But, you know, let me just, I'm going to just stay my ass in Paris and stop talking about that.
Well, okay, right. Because, you know, he be listening. I feel like I remember back in school, when we were studying back in the day, what was it called? The Soviet Union back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I remember us having to read a book as well as watch a movie called Big Brother. And I swear, I feel like it's that time. I don't know, you familiar? Mm-hmm. You know, they had that reality show it was called Big Brother or something like
that. Yeah, it was called that.
Okay. But yeah, I remember the Soviet Union, we had to read it, and then we had to watch the movie about Big Brother, how he was always watching and you know, just telling everybody what they needed to do and what they couldn't do and all of that stuff. Girl, I feel like, girl, Big Brother be watching. So I'll be trying to, you know, watch what I say, because I don't want nothing to mess up me being able to go in and out as I freely want to, and my baby from coming here. So
right. It's a finicky line. Actually, you know, I do feel like that goes into the sacred rage of our conversation, because sacred rage, if we utilize it well, it can be the force that propels change. Mm-hmm. Right? Like I could be upset that all this stuff and injustices are happening, and I can take that upsetness out on my immediate like environment, like breaking a glass in my house or something, right? Because I'm so frustrated. Or I can channel that frustration into creating a community where we work to understand the laws, and then get a lawyer who also is raging about this and utilize their sacred race to then all of us come together and do a thing that creates a change. You know what I mean? So I just went on a whole tangent, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I definitely understand what you're saying. And in psychological terms, in psychology, we call it resistance. So we use what we're raging about and turn it into a form of resistance, and making sure that people understand that it is perfectly your human right to resist. Whatever way you want to resist, that's your thing. And what it does is it challenges whatever you're resisting or raging about, but also it allows you to have autonomy on how you want to deal with it and feel about it. So I think that's a beautiful thing. But I still want to ask you a question, because, you know, I mean,
oh yeah, you said you had two questions.
Mm-hmm. It's actually one. So the question is, so for inquiring minds that want to know, like, when's the last time you heard that? So inquiring minds that want to know, what is it that allows you, or what is this wanderlust that you have that you've been, I know since we've started our personal relationship, we were in Australia. Mm-hmm. And then from Australia to Thailand, and from Thailand now to Paris. Mm-hmm. So what is it that is allowing you this freedom to just go and explore your wanderlust?
Spirit guides. Spirit guides, honestly, honestly, Nakisha, this would be a whole show in itself.
That's like, okay. It's our show.
Just a whole show in itself. Because honestly, like, I've come to this place this past week that I was like, you know what, this feel like Robert Denise's Eat, Pray, Love year. Like, I'm really out here eating, praying, loving, like, loving myself deeper. But it was, I had to release something. And the thing is, a couple of years ago, Spirit, I was in meditation doing a ritual on full moon. And the full moon is the time when you are supposed to release things. Mm-hmm. And I was doing a ritual and I got this download from my guides and they showed me like all of the stuff that I was holding on to. And they were like, it's time to let all of this go and leave the U.S. And I was like, now that was 3 years ago. And I was like, I fought it. And so I did like a pseudo version of that. Mm-hmm. And it's funny when we do a pseudo version of what Spirit is encouraging you to do, how shit just feels difficult, because I did a pseudo version of that and then ended up motherfucking homeless in the U.S., mm-hmm. couch hopping from friend's house to friend's house because I did not fully listen to what I was told. And then finally, the beginning of this year, I listened and I was like, all right, everything you said, Spirit, everything. I sold everything that I could. I donated all sorts of shit, my paintings, and I'm a painter. So like I got one of a kind paintings. I donated that stuff. I donated all of the things that I had that was like furniture, just let it all go. Mm-hmm. And from releasing all of that, I got some money. And then the next thing they was like, leave the U.S. Like literally they burned my ass.
Wow.
Because I was still trying to be like, well, maybe I'll just like, you know, travel around the U.S. again. And they was like, no, Robin Denise, the directive is to leave.
Right.
And so I left and I didn't know it was going to be all of this. I didn't know I was going to be hitting all of these places, but literally it's been me reclaiming the desires and the passions of my heart. Mm-hmm. And so each location I've been to, it's because there was a piece of me, an inner child piece of me, a divine feminine piece of me, a sacral chakra piece of me, a solar plexus piece of me, like pieces of my being and spirit that was like, there is something in this land that you need to go here and reclaim, mm-hmm. a piece of your spirit that you need to go here and reclaim. So go.
I absolutely love that. I love that story and I love that for you. I wonder, and I'm just wondering, because you mentioned Eat, Pray, Love, and Eat, Pray, Love was one of those movies. I didn't read the book, but I heard the book was just absolutely excellent. But it's one of those movies I will watch at least two times a year ever since. I think around 2011, I started watching that. Around 2011, I believe. And I will watch it two times a year. And then at that time, I couldn't afford a lot of anything. Izzy was really small and all that. So I couldn't afford to do anything, to do all the traveling and stuff like that. But once I actually started traveling, I realized that I, too, was releasing stuff and seeing things from a different perspective in other countries. And then this last struggle, challenge, breakthrough that I experienced when I got my divorce, or was in the process of getting my divorce, just magically, I was able to move here to Mexico. And in Mexico, it was everything that I needed to put myself together again, because I'm an ocean person. Mm-hmm. So looking out the window, my house is by the ocean, you know? Mm-hmm. And then just being in a foreign land, what, having to adapt yourself to new people. They don't know you. You don't know them. You have to learn the language. So it gives your body and your nervous system the rest that it needs from the regular status quo or flow of what you're used to, all that fighting and struggling and overthinking and all that stuff. You don't do that because you're literally rebirthing yourself in these new places. And I want to say, like, just being here in Mexico, it just completely grew me up, grew me out, and just made a lot of things that I never would have thought would be possible, possible. And now that I'm in this soft era, it is weird. We've talked about this because I'm like, I feel lazy. I feel it. But it's that soft era life, literally doing what you want to do when you want to do it. And then you don't have all these voices and struggles. And I remember days living in Los Angeles having four contracts, like a single mother working four different places, having contracts, working around the clock, just all of that hustle and bustle where you down. But here, everything is so soft. It's so easy. It's simple. And people do things for you. And they want to do things for you. Right. So I commend you. The reason I said that is I'm wondering if there is a pattern in the bounce back of your life where you do need to surrender and surrender not just thoughts and people, but surrender to a whole new foreign land.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a part of being able to timeline jump. You know, people want to manifest the desires of their heart and the version of themselves that they want to see. And to do that, we have to leave the timeline that is no longer serving us. We have to jump forward into what we're seeing, what we want. And I've always traveled. Like, I've had, being a Caribbean-born American, I've always had a passport. When I was three, I was in Jamaica with visit aunties and things, right? Mm-hmm. So travel is a part of like my coding. Mm-hmm. And so every year I've taken multiple trips, but this has definitely been different. And like you were saying, that like that surrendering to moving, to allowing yourself to experience a different frequency and vibration of a different land. Because once you do that, you see cultural sense, well, not see, but you learn cultural sensitivity. You learn what it looks like to see people move differently in their familial settings, right? How they interact relationally, versus how you might have been groomed or grown up to see. And it just expands your understanding of what love is and also how you can show up in your fullness. It gives you a greater scope of like, oh, I can wear this, or oh, I can do this, or I can da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't have to be constrained by the things that I saw growing up.
Absolutely. And not owning and holding on to fear, because a lot of times fear keeps people from doing this. And I know one of the things, the first thing people say, oh, you live in Mexico, you're not scared of the cartel? Mm-hmm. They're not checking for me. Mm-hmm. I ain't checking for them. They ain't checking for me. What are we discussing? But a lot of times people won't do anything for the fear.
Right.
And so you do become another level of limitless, fearless, and understanding. Like you said, you're not afraid of the people, and you see that the people are not afraid of you.
Mm-hmm. They are enamored when they see us.
Gosh.
Especially beautiful melanated people like us. Come on, Nikisha. They're enamored.
Great energy and stuff. They can see, that's universal. Energy is universal, right?
Right.
The other day I wasn't feeling really well. I had just, you know, I just got back from taking Izzy to school. And then not being with my love, not being with Izzy, I'm just here looking at these two cats. My energy was kind of low, you know? And I just, my back was hurting. So I WhatsApp the carnita, we call him the carnita man. His name is Antonio. Antonio has a carnita stand where he sells carnita tacos. And so I messaged him. I said, when you get done at your stand, do you mind going to get me some water? It's a certain kind of juice that I like. He says, si, mi amor, he'll go get it.
Mm-hmm.
So then he texts me back after he was getting, he said, I have an emergency. I have to get to Tijuana to get my meat for tomorrow. He said, but I'm going to have the man in OXXO, was like a 7-Eleven, basically.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have the man at OXXO bring you your water. Can you imagine that? He went in there and told the OXXO man, the OXXO where I lived and everything. The OXXO man came. He was like, oh, so this is where you live? I said, yeah. He was like, anytime you need anything, let me know. And he delivered me my water and my juice.
This is what I'm saying, because I was in Costa Rica and I needed some new shoes. And my friend at the time sent me the like name of the business. What shoes do I have? Not Crocs, the other ones that are good, sandals, Birkenstocks.
Oh, the Birkenstocks.
Ooh. Yes, right. And let me tell you how I end up talking to the owner of the Birkenstock store. And he is sending me all of the pictures of different shoes that I requested and then said, I can have this to you by the end of the day. He came 3 hours before the end of the day with it and was like, do you need anything else? And I was like, what is this? Why don't we have this type of communal engagement in the U.S.? Or at least, I mean, maybe it happens somewhere. Maybe Mo Bounce Nation, y'all know of it, and you could call in and tell us who and where is happening, so we could go there and partridge these people. But
yes, let me tell you, when you said that, Mo Bounce Nation, please come in and join the conversation. We free flowing. We're still talking about Sacred Rage because this is a form of resistance. Because we, you know, you are picking your own path. You're picking your own path. And it doesn't have to look familiar to anybody but you. You could call in at 323-203-0815. Mo Bounce Nation, we do want to hear from you. We do want you to be a part of this conversation. You can call in at 323-203-0815. Robin Denise, you said something. I saw a clip on YouTube, and Trevor Noir, the comedian from South Africa.
I love him.
I love Trevor Noir.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if he still has that fro that he was doing, but the fro or the shortcut, it just does it. Okay.
He's so woke. I love him.
He is funny.
I forgot who he was talking to. I don't know if you know Josh Johnson. Josh Johnson. He's kind of like the new, he's not new, but he's a comedian as well. And I think he said Jamie Foxx. Who was the little short comedian? The
real short Cat one. Williams?
No. The little, little dark skinned short one.
Oh, goddamn. Who played opposite The Rock? In a couple movies.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We know. Kevin Hart
had a something and he put him on something. But anyway, he's a comedian, a black guy, and he grew his hair out. So he wears braids and he always wears a gray hoodie and jeans, his former resistance. I love the hoodie, right? but he also is now one of the hosts on The Daily Show, right? Mm-hmm. They were having a conversation and the conversation went like this. Trevor said, the West did a good job of tricking us out of villages. Villages is our thing because we knew how to take care of each other. We knew how to take care of each other to death, right? But they tricked us and told us, well, you know, get your own house, move far away, be separate. He said, we don't even realize. Back then, we were a village and we didn't have to pay to be a village. Now, in the Western world, we have to pay for our village. We have to find a babysitter. We have to find a daycare center. Mm-hmm. We have to, you know, find somewhere to go do grocery shopping. And we have to find, and then we have to pay the people once we get too old to take care of ourselves, to go in the, you know, the senior citizen facilities and things like that. He was just like, they tricked us. We are village people. Mm-hmm. And then they tricked us now in order to have a village. We got to pay for everything. So whereas we were able to keep our money and build and buy land and build compounds and things like that, now we have to take our money and we are all spending the same money on the same light bill, the same cable, the same all this stuff, but we all in different houses.
Right.
Babysitter, all of that.
And to even like just add on to it from the spiritual side, right? Like there were Babalawos and Iyami, which is like people gonna have some words, whatever. Iyami is another word for like the witches. Mm-hmm. But there were those spiritualists in those communities that people would come to for a working, for, oh, my baby can't sleep at night, something's bothering her. Oh, let me give you this. Let me make this root satchel for you to put at the end of her bed. Mm-hmm. All of that, right? And those people were taken care of because they took care of the community. Yes. But now, because we've gotten so far away from that communal living, people are like, well, I don't want to have to pay for this spiritual working. They're feeling some type of way about pouring into the spiritual worker who is there to pour into them and keep the community thriving.
Mm-hmm.
But it's another way.
But they still having to pay because you got to go to therapy now.
Right.
And like, you got to go to the psych hospital. You got to go to the pharmacy.
And those things are needed. I think it should be the team, which is the community, right? The team of people. Yes, I might still need a therapist. Yes, I might still need a root doctor. Yes, I might still need my hypertension medication. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like separating us from spirit and community divides and conquers.
Mm-hmm. 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 Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow.
Well then.
that was so good. Get to girl, we just been flowing, but you still gotta get to your inappropriate question. You know, I live for the inappropriate question.
Oh my gosh.
Get to the inappropriate question.
I wanna define sacred rage, and then I'm gonna say the inappropriate question. Cause you know, this was something, sacred rage came to me when I was in Thailand processing some things that had happened over my life spiritually and mentally, physically, all of the things, right? And so we've talked about sacred rage, but I really do want to provide kind of this definition. So it is the life-giving fire that rises when injustice, betrayal, or harm collides with the deepest knowing of your worth and your people's dignity. Like you were talking about the resistance. Mm-hmm. It is anger that refuses to destroy aimlessly, choosing mm-hmm. instead to burn away the illusions, ignite the truth, and clear the path for healing and liberation. Mm-hmm. So sacred rage really honors the wounds and uses that rage, that hurt, to serve as a vision for transformation, changing our pain into purpose and power. And I think why it resonates with me so much is because as a grief and pleasure coach, as a spiritualist, as the spiritual guru, everybody's favorite spiritual guru and baddie, that's my stick. You know, like we gonna transform the hurt, the trauma into the joy and the pleasure. And so being able to know that your rage can do that, mm-hmm. has the power to do that, I think puts people back into the driver's seats of their life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I like what you just said, because when you think about the rage, typically, I don't know, I can't speak for everybody, but I know my audience is Black women, right? Typically, sometimes we grow up with rage looking destructive. Mm-hmm. And so what we're saying is, instead of using it to destroy, using it to get clarity, mm-hmm. to frame your boundaries, and to rebirth. And that it's okay. And what makes it sacred is because it's yours. It's between you and God. And you don't owe any explanation to anyone. It's your sacred path. It's almost like your rite of passage to rise like the phoenix out of whatever has challenged you or brought some type of disturbance to you. It is okay. It is valid to feel what you need to feel, but you get a choice. You either start destroying stuff or you use it to rebirth and to build.
Okay, so the question is, finally, I know you all have been waiting so patiently. The question is, why do we swallow our anger and call that rising above? Or when they go low, we go high.
Ah!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, girl.
I know.
Girl, okay.
I know.
Listen, Mo, Bounce Nation, get in here. 323-203-0815. Listen. Izzy nudged me and was like, Mama, you got to go respond. Because I don't know if y'all know. Cardi B, again. Cardi B has some clothing or whatever, and the plus size women sold the clothing out, 3X's, sold out in 20 minutes. Now, she goes live. Now, you would think, now from a high vibrational place, if the 3X girls sold my clothes out in 20 minutes, I didn't even realize I had a 3X following like that.
Right.
In 20 minutes, I'm like, y'all, for real, thank y'all. I'm going to get some more in stock. I appreciate y'all. No, she said, oh, man, what did she say? You fat? Hold on. I got to tell you what she said, girl. Wait a minute. You fat fucks.
Oh.
You fat fucks. How she said, you fat fucks sold out, no Chick-fil-A for y'all, then sold out the 3X's in 20 minutes. So we had a conscious plus positive woman, a Harvard graduate who is a big influencer, Samia, and Samia responded like, hello, you didn't know you had us? Didn't you do something with Lizzo? Like, how can you even not be, you know, understanding all of that? So anyway, Samia was trying to go high by educating Cardi B, and it got worse. And then everybody started attacking Samia like she did. She wasn't even talking to you. When you online, you talking to whoever listening to you. But anyway, I had to, you know, respond, because one of those things was, when people are in a low vibration, they have a chaotic world and all of that. That's the way they talk. That's just the way they are, because they don't have the capacity at the time to be in a, have a critical thinking way or more elevated viewpoint, a way of communicating or whatever. So make a long story short, she was trying to go high because Cardi B was very low, but it backfired. It backfired because Cardi not even on that level. And all the people that really love her and her fans and all that, they on her level. So they went after this girl so much that she backed up from social media. And her mother, who is a soror, went on social media and was crying and was saying affirmations to her daughter through social media. That's how bad it got. So, you know, I had to say my couple of cents, but I'm just saying, I ain't.
So what did you say? You can't say you had to say something and then you didn't, don't tell us.
I just broke down like where Cardi B is, and Samia thought that she was having an emotional intelligent conversation with someone who was emotionally intelligent, but you can't have that conversation when somebody's in the gutter. They not on your level, so you can't have, they don't even hear you. It's like talking two different languages. I'm talking English, you talking French. It's two different languages. They didn't even hear you. So it triggered Cardi so much. And I said, listen, how in the world is she going to say sorry to a group of people when she got her plastic surgeon on speed dial? How is that going to happen? She's not even comfortable with her body. You think she's going to apologize to you and she ain't even like herself? And then I said, you know, it's the thing. Hurt people. Cardi is hurting. She's got a massive following. She got massive money and a massive talent. But the Cardi, she hurting. And she has a restricted and limited lifestyle, limited vocabulary, limited communication skills, limited thinking. Everything is limited. I said her inner world is small. And Samia's world is big. And she was trying to invite Cardi up. And Cardi got triggered by that. So I just basically broke it down and explained what happened and why it backfired. When people go low, leave them there.
Okay, so So why we swallow the anger and call it rising above?
It's like, I don't even know. Like, I guess I have to say in my sacred rage, I have to say, like, I don't even know that it's rising above. I think it's just leave it alone. Because we're not aligned. We are not aligned. We live in two different worlds. We're not aligned. Leave it alone.
So I don't think it's that they say that they think, okay, when I say rising above or we go high, when we go high, they go low. Oh shit. When they go low, we go high.
It sounds good.
They use, people can use that to not embrace, to not actually see that they are upset or hurt or irritated by a thing. And instead of embracing their rage, embracing their anger and being like, I don't like how this went, acknowledging it, accepting it, and then coming up and saying whatever they need to say can still be rising above how you use it. But there's this like fine line between I'm a rise above and not say nothing, or rising above and embracing that, oh, that pissed me off. You know what I mean?
That's a coping skill. That's a coping skill. And that's the freeze coping skill. You know, the flight, fight, and freeze. That's the freeze coping skill that people will use. Because, again, most of the times when people do that, they're not comfortable in conflict. And they view conflict as a negative thing. So that's why the freeze happens. Conflict.
I mean, it could also be flight too, right? Like not desiring to be in conflict. So you flee from the discussion.
Yeah, but if usually flight is like, it can be, but that's more of a freeze mode. I'm not going to do anything. Flight is emotion. Flight is something. So flight is, I'm not going to follow her no more. I don't like her. I ain't going to deal with her no more. I'm leaving. That's flight. Freeze is, I feel it. I'm angry about it, but I'm not going to do anything about it.
Okay. Probably, I think a lot of people can be having a little bit of both.
Yeah. And most of us cycle through all of them.
Yeah.
We're not aware. We mostly cycle through all of them. Okay. She said, Listen, that is too funny. Robert Denise. Robert Denise, you got any parting words?
You know, I'll just see y'all next time. If you want to connect with me, do it. You know, I'm on the socials as Robin Denise 1222. I am very active on TikTok. So if you want to see some spiritual information and just, you know, motivation and support there, go follow me on TikTok. And then if you are in need of that spiritual healing, that extra loving that we talked about, being in community and knowing who gonna have your back and give you a good root bag, you come to me. Come go to my website, robindenise.com.
Listen, don't forget, next week we gotta see who did their spiritual bath that you gave the recipe for last week.
Yes.
You did that. Yes. I'm curious. So if you did, I want to know. And listen, you've been listening to Bounce Back Behavior, and your rage doesn't have to be hidden. It can be a form of resistance. It can be holy. It can be heard, and it can be your comeback. Mo Bounce Nation, keep your head up, your heart close to God until we meet or speak. Hug yourself for me. Robin Denise, let's bounce.
We out.
You're listening to Bounce Back Behavior, the show with Nakisha Michelle and Robin Denise, only on LA Talk Radio.